You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 18 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at the last two victories over West Ham and Tottenham. We've got the Guardians' Raphael Honigstein on the phone to preview Wolfsburg away. And Dob will be catching up with an Aston Villa fan from the villablog.co.uk.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to episode 18 now of the RedCafe.net podcast. As always, it's me, Stephen Darwin, and I'm joined by David Schiavone and Daniel Lomax. Good week, guys.
I have, yes, Steve. Thank you very much for asking. I have had a very good week, and it's going to get better, seeing as I'm going to be 24 on Thursday.
You're quite happy about turning 24, Dan. I mean, you should be depressed. I mean, it's pretty much all over for you now, really. Come on.
All over. I've got the rest of my life to look forward to, don't worry.
How are you, Dov? You had a good week?
Yeah, I'm not bad. A bit tired, obviously. I'm not as cheery as Dan, but other than that, I'm raring to go. 100% fit, though.
Right, well, we'll kick off with the West Ham victory, guys. 4-0 win, really emphatic. And Dan, it was even more pleasing, especially when you consider the injury problems we had.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we ended the game with Fletcher playing at right back, Giggs at left back, and two centre halves in Michael Carrick and Patrice Evra, which probably isn't the best foundation to win a game on. But I mean, the game's probably already won by then, so it wasn't a problem. But Carrick looked all right at centre half as well. Showed his versatility. Fletcher, we know, can do a job there anyway. But I'm a bit worried about these injuries that are coming through now. O'Shea out until January, and possibly Johnny Evans as well.
You mentioned Carrick there, stepping in at centre-half, and he did pretty well, didn't he? I mean, has he got some of the characteristics to really go on and be a good centre-back? I mean, he's got the height, hasn't he? He's not bad in the air. He's willing to put his foot in to tackle. So is there nothing to say that he could come in and be a centre-half if needs must?
Oh, he could definitely do it, and he can play the ball out from the back as well, which is pretty good about him. Like you say, he's decent in the air. I wouldn't start him there on a regular basis, obviously if the back four were fit. But no, I mean, he's got all the capabilities of stepping up and showing his versatility and showing his class. He's a great player.
Well, it's just with the sort of options we've got in central midfield. I mean, I suppose it's never really been thought of because we've never had this many injury problems. But I mean, we've talked about Rio Ferdinand stepping up and playing sort of central midfield, and we've never really talked about Carrick doing that job at centre half. But he's proved that he's capable of doing it if needed. So I suppose that's always valuable to have. Dov, Darren Gibson, once again. I mean, we talked about him a couple of weeks back and sort of said, has he really got enough to be able to make it? And then last two games, he's popped up with three absolutely superb strikes, so it really is looking like he could make the grade.
Yeah, my phone can't really handle any more text messages for Dan every time Darren Gibson scores. It's ridiculous. And I'm gonna stop saying that players are rubbish, because every single time I've done it, I think this is maybe three or four times I've said, like, he's all right, but he's not going to be this or that or the next thing. And then it's not even they wait a week, they wait like the next game and just do something great. Darren Gibson, two goals. Darren Fletcher's done it to me before as well. I mean, it's good for the lad. I'm still not convinced he's going to be... I don't think he's a first-team player. I think I think the best he can do is a squad player at United. But, I mean, hats off to the lad. He's scoring fantastic. It's not even they're just rubbish goals or like lucky goals. They're actually top-quality strikes. So, fair play. Hat off to the boy.
Wow. Dan, Paul Scholes, we haven't talked about him for a while, and he comes up with a trademark thunderbolt. I mean, we've said it in the past that we're not sure beyond this season whether he's got sort of enough to play week in, week out, but do you think he does still have plenty to offer beyond this season?
Yeah, of course he does, but I mean, you refer to that scream, and I thought Robert Green, if he wants to play for England in the World Cup, he's got to be saving those sort of shots. I know he was ill and everything, but I mean, Scholes his left foot, it's not even in the corner. But no, he's definitely got a lot to offer. I think he said sometime last week, didn't he, about maybe retiring this summer. I'm not sure that would be the best thing for him to do, but no, he's definitely got all the experience you need. He can still control the game from the middle of the park as well. So, you know, there's a lot to come from him.
Bodan, like looking at what he said, he says, you think about the future, he's not too sure, and he's going to see what happens come the end of the season. And he's an Oldham fan, and I can remember him saying a good few years ago that he wanted to finish his career at Oldham. And he also said he's playing once or twice every few weeks. I mean, he's not really getting the first team games that he wants. I mean, he wants to play football. He's a professional footballer. So I think maybe in the summer, yeah, Ferguson's going to look at sort of the options he's got, your Andersons, your Darren Gibsons, and just see how much football he can offer Scholes. And then, to be fair, he'll be honest with them. They'll say, look, you're not going to play every week. You might only be getting maybe one, two games a month, if that. And like Paul Scholes might decide that sort of a couple of years older and would round up his career quite nicely.
That's a fair point, Dov. I mean, I don't think he'll take that route. I think if he eventually does decide that he's not got enough to sort of stay with United, I don't think he'll go to Oldham. I think he'll just call it a day there and retire there and then. But maybe he'll stay in the coaching staff if he doesn't decide to do that. But we'll move on to look at Tottenham at home in the League Cup, the 2-0 win. Dov, impressive win, wasn't it? And against what was, well, it was Tottenham's first 11, really, with a couple of changes. And again, two first-class strikes from Gibson. But how did you rate the younger lads that were playing? We've got the likes of Richie Delayette. He played at left-back. Obertan was playing, Welbeck, a couple of cameo appearances for Makeda and Tosic as well, and they all did okay, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a good performance. I thought more Tottenham never turned up. I was quite not surprised, but I mean, the way Darren Gibson, for example, absolutely owned the Tottenham centre midfield. It was a joy to see it, and his two goals were fantastic. Anderson, his going forward were fantastic. He's passing spot on, his flicks and tricks, and obviously good physical player. Berbatov with his new hairstyle, which makes him look even more like a vampire, got on. He had quite a decent game as well. But I mean, I don't think we were spectacular. I thought we were sturdy and controlled the game and did what we needed to do. So I was impressed with the players that did play as well. It showed that Danny Welbeck as well. I mean, he was up front to start with, but then he sort of moved out to the left and out to the right. And so it shows you sort of the versatility that these youngsters that are coming through have. And Leigh, it's a centre-back, was playing at left-back as well. So all in all, it was quite impressive with the young guys.
Well, a good solid win, Dan. And I suppose even though it was Tottenham's first 11 and, like Dov said, they didn't really turn up, did they? But I guess Manchester City in the semi-final, that's going to be the real test, isn't it? Because Mark Hughes is arguably going to just send out a strong side, isn't he? And just expect them to wipe the floor with our youngsters. But that will be a good test for them to see if they are capable of stepping up, won't it?
Yeah, I don't know whether we'll play our strong team, though. I mean, do you think we'll go a bit stronger than what we have done in the previous rounds? Or?
Well, he said, hasn't he, Ferguson, that he's going to give the youngsters the chance to impress in the semis as well. So I assume that would include the likes of Delayette, Obertan, Welbeck and Makeda. So whether you deem that as... Well, it's not 11 young players, is it? There's going to be some experienced heads in there as well. So it's not like they're in sort of untested waters. But it'll still be a bigger test than what they've had so far, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, well, I do like Richard Delayette. I think he's a good player. And obviously... You know, if Raphael and Fabio get back in as well, they're going to be strong for that. Gibson, he's not let anybody down yet. Obviously, Dov's still a bit sceptical about him, but he's allowed to be. I'm looking for Welbeck and Makeda to actually step up a little bit now, because I think the last few games they've done all right, but they've not really been anything special. I've been a little bit disappointed as well at the same time.
I think they're obviously the reserve football they're playing, and they're coming up against sort of higher quality centre-backs, so they've just got to do maybe a bit more work. I mean, I think the more games that they get, the better they will get, because the two of them are obviously they're supremely talented, both of them, so the more games they get, the better it will be for them sort of in the long run, to test themselves against better quality defenders.
I look at Welbeck though, and the amount of times he gets shrugged off the ball, is he strong enough to play in the Premier League in Europe?
Dan, you're turning 24. He's not long term 19. I mean, give the boy a break, and he's playing against 27, 28 year old guys who are fully developed and they're strong guys, and he's still developing.
No. I would not disagree with you there. I was just, you know, I'm just wondering about him because he's obviously got all the pace and he's got all the attributes to be a good striker. But I mean, I just think that he looks a little bit lightweight. Like you say, it might just be the fact that, you know, he's not developed. But it's something that's got to be looked at in the next few years, I'm sure.
What about, I mean, Omri? Because I see bits of Omri in Danny Welbeck, and I guess, I mean, does anyone know what Omri was like at that age? Was he similarly built? Did it take him a few years to sort of develop? I mean, that might be the same sort of route that Danny Welbeck will go down. I don't know.
You're comparing Welbeck to Omri?
In terms of touches, yeah, I think he's got a similar style to Omri, similar swagger.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, well, I can definitely see where I'm from, but I don't know really. I mean,
I know it's too early to say that Welbeck can have the same impact as someone like Thierry Omri. He'll probably end up finishing in the championship in a few years or something like that. But I guess the same was said about David Bellion when he was first at United. No, I think he's got the sort of attributes that Omri has, like the way he dribbles with the ball and his pace and acceleration. I just think that I can see shades of Omri in him. But yeah, obviously too early to draw a big comparison with him. But Sean Fields on the emails, he commented on how well he thought Richie Delayette performed, as Dan mentioned. And James McAllister sent an email in as well, talking about Owen Hargreaves, Dov, to sort of solve the right-back problem. I mean, we talked about Maicon, didn't we, in last week's show, that we saw him as a decent signing if we did make a move for him. But what about Hargreaves coming back to fitness? There's so many central midfielders. Why not throw him in at right-back?
We can't play there, and he showed his class there when he did play there when he was fit. But I wouldn't like to just throw him in early because of the defensive crisis. Because, I mean, if he gets a bad injury, he's been out for so long already. I mean, I would really want to make sure he was fully 100% ready to come back into the team before throwing him in there, just in case it does more harm than good. But he can certainly play there, and he's proved that. A couple of seasons ago when he was actually playing in the right back row. So I mean, I would have no problems putting him in, but not yet. I'd wait till he was like properly fit first.
So long term, you'd be quite happy with him to sort of develop and make that role his own?
I wouldn't say making it his own. He could do it for a while, to wait until we got other people fit or whatever, like Raphael or something like that. But I wouldn't want him there as that was his position. Not at all. He's a central midfielder as far as I'm concerned, but he could do the job for a little bit until we get somebody in, or where the young guys step up just to show some of the squad versatility we've got, something like that.
Well, it's features time now, and we'll start with the cabbage and player of the week. Dan, player of the week for you this week? There's a couple of decent performances, so plenty of players to choose from.
I'm going to have to go with Darren Gibson. Can't really go away from that. Obviously two goals against Tottenham, one against West Ham, all three of them were pretty decent strikes, weren't they? I think in all, he had a decent two games as well. So yeah, no, Darren Gibson.
Dov, same for you, Gibson.
I'm gonna have to. I was trying to think of somebody to give it to, not Darren Gibson, because I look like an idiot. But I'm gonna have to give it to Darren Gibson. Just a great week all round for the lad, and he deserves all the plaudits he's getting, for now at least. I'm waiting to get my revenge.
Yeah, I'm fully behind both of you. I'm going to give it to Gibson as well, to score three goals. Well, can't really say anything else, can you? He's been sort of questioned whether he's good enough to make it at that level and to come up with those sort of goals. It proves that he has got something about him, so fair play to him. What about Cabbage of the Week? Dov, I'll start with you this time.
I'm going to give it to Gary Neville, actually. It was quite a hard decision, and people on the Red Cafe forums will probably slate me for it as well. I don't care. I just thought against Tottenham, didn't really get near Lennon all night. He's not got the pace anymore. And then I started at centre back against West Ham and came off with a groin injury. So I just think Gary Neville, it looks like his time could well and truly be up.
Dan?
I'm going to have to probably go away well back.
Okay, well, I'm going to go for the South Korean international, Ji-Sung Park. I didn't think he really did a lot when he was given the chance to sort of stake a claim for a first-team place against Tottenham, because he's been out of the side, hasn't he, in fairness, and arguably rightly so. I mean, Valencia's been performing so well, so he really had to try and prove a point to Ferguson, and he didn't really do it. So, yeah, for that reason, I'm going to give it to Ji-Sung Park. And, well, reserves review this week. It's actually under-18s review, as the reserves didn't have a game. So, Dov, bring us up to speed.
Well, the Manchester United Academy side, the under-18s, were playing West Brom under-18s. And it was a 2-1 victory for United to finish off the 2009 season for them. Sorry, not the season, but the 2009 schedule. Two goals, one from Paul Pogba, who we have heard about in the past. Basically, he picked up the ball 30 yards out, sort of steadied himself a little bit, then basically smashed a shot into the sort of far top corner. A great, great strike. And then on 24 minutes, Ryan Tunnicliffe, he pretty much done the same thing. Basically, this is 35 yards out, and he drilled the ball into the bottom corner. So obviously 2-0 lead going into half time. The second half, though, nothing much really happened. Scott Wooten, Will Keane, and Tunnicliffe again had a couple of chances, but it was West Brom who they got the sort of a consolation goal in the 89th minute to make it 2-1. But I mean, basically, we ran the show for the whole game. Paul Pogba was fantastic, shall we say. It looks like he's going to be a good young player, a good young signing for us as well. After West Brom scored, though, there was a couple of sort of nervy moments in the last sort of couple of minutes, but sort of Paul McGuinness's side, we held on and sort of took the points. So it's a good end to the year for the under-18s, and a lot more performances like that to come in the future, I hope, as well. Steve, there's something I want to chat about. It's kind of reserves related. It's Adam Lechic not coming to the club. It was announced this week that we're not going to take up the option of signing him, and I just want to see what you and Dan's thoughts are on that, and why it is, and basically, is it a sign of things to come for the future? Do you think that's maybe the financial sort of load on us maybe sort of coming to the fore a little bit? I mean, what do you think about it?
Well, to be honest, Dov, I was really shocked when I first saw the news. I mean, this guy was being billed as really the next big thing, wasn't he? The next Kaká. And I was thinking, what's gone wrong here? I mean, everything seemed to be working fine. We'd let the deal seemed to be arranged. He was going to come over in January and join up with the reserves and then get some chances in the first team as well, hopefully. And it just hasn't materialised, has it? I mean, like you say, some people are saying it's to do with money, that we can't afford the, I think it's 10 million, wasn't it, the quoted fee. Other people are saying it's because we don't need him, because we've got enough central midfielders, but it's all a bit of a mystery.
Yeah, I mean, like, from what I've heard, obviously we've pulled out of it, but Mike Phelan said it was due to work permit sort of complications. So that's the United official party line. But the Partizan Belgrade president, he came out and said it's because of financial constraints on the club. So you sort of like, right, who do we believe? Is it United? Like, maybe they're putting out like a bit of spin and trying to sort of brush everything under the carpet. But I was the same as you, a bit shocked, a bit surprised, because obviously reputation that he's had. And to be fair, like, from what he's played this season for Partizan, I mean, he's getting a goal every other game pretty much. So it doesn't look like he's going to be a bad player. But I think Fergie, he's probably like, if he wanted him, he would have got him. And I think maybe he sort of had a look at what he's got, because he has been training at Old Trafford. He's trained a few times at Carrington. So obviously Ferguson's got a chance to have a look at him. Maybe he's just thought he's not better than what we've got. So why spend unnecessary cash getting a player?
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, it's preview time on the RedCafe.net podcast. And well, we've got a real treat for you today, because I'm delighted to say that I've got the Guardian's German football correspondent, Raphael Honigstein, on the line. And he's going to look ahead to Wolfsburg away in the Champions League with us. Thanks a lot for coming on the show, Raph.
My pleasure.
And to start with, Raph, well, Wolfsburg, I mean, champions of Germany last season, but, well, they're only eighth in the Bundesliga after 15 games of the current campaign. They haven't won in their last four games either. So can you pinpoint exactly what's going wrong at the moment?
I think they're just conceding too many goals is the short answer. They've been pretty impressive going forward yet again. But the organisation has seemed to have at the back end of Felix Magath has gone a little bit out of the window. They're perhaps too open. They've also been really unlucky with referee decisions. I mean, they should have won the game against Freiburg. It was a 2-2 draw at the weekend. Also against Bremen, it was a 2-2 draw, but they conceded in the last minute. So perhaps the points tally is a little bit misleading and doesn't show you the real strength of the team. But I think the bigger point, and perhaps wider point, is that it's been now well-established patterns of new teams in the Champions League, that is, from Germany, who find it very, very tough to adopt to the dual demands of domestic football and European football. We saw with Stuttgart in 2007 when they won the league. It's a similar situation now with Wolfsburg. And because you've got a lot of fluctuation in the German league, where there's almost two out of three new teams entering the Champions League every year, they then, of course, find it tough to replicate their success, and Wolfsburg is a perfect case.
And Edin Dzeko, Raph, I mean, you'll be able to paint a much better picture than I'll be able to, but he's burst onto the scene, hasn't he, sort of last year or so. 26 league goals last season speaks for itself. I mean, he's been heavily linked with United recently. I think Sir Alex Ferguson's come out and sort of distanced himself from those sort of rumours, but I think it's fair to say United are watching him, and is that something that you could see materialising in the future? And what do you think Dzeko would bring to the table in a Manchester United shirt?
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, Edin Dzeko is on many people's radar, and I think United have confirmed through Mike Phelan that they are looking at him as well. I personally asked Ferguson at Old Trafford about Edin Dzeko, and he was very complimentary on his performance, and you saw that he liked him. There was a sense that he likes him as a player. He's tall, he's elegant, he's really strong in the air, but at the same time, really skillful, he's fast. He's, for me, the most complete striker in the Bundesliga, and certainly at his age, 23, one of the most accomplished all-round strikers. He can do everything. You wouldn't put him in one particular bracket of striker, but for me, this guy will be an absolute superstar in a couple of years. So now is, of course, the time to get him, I suppose. The problem is for United and for other clubs is that AC Milan came very, very close to signing him in the summer. They already agreed terms with him. He came out publicly saying it's his dream team. He always wanted to go there. In the end, Wolfsburg turned down a 20 million euro offer, about £19 million, and blocked the move. And we believe in Germany, certainly, that in his new contract, he extended his contract in 2013. There's a specific release clause, but it's specifically related to Milan coming back with another offer. The rumour is around 25 million euros, so that would be about 23 million pounds. And I can't help but think that perhaps there's something a little bit mischievous going on there with United and the comments. Maybe they're just trying to ruin Arsene Wenger's day a little bit and talking up the price, because Wenger, I think, is really in a position where he has to make a move, and he's also been very public about Dzeko, and he would certainly walk straight in the Arsenal team right now.
And Mizimovic is the other sort of real quality player in the Wolfsburg side. I know United haven't really been linked with him, more so Arsenal. Is he the sort of player that would fit into a top class Premier League side?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, in the sense that he's technically very, very gifted. He scores goals. He's the man who can deliver the killer pass. At the same time, he's very much a number 10, so you have to sort of build your team around a little bit. You have to put ideally two men behind him, or at least provide a platform for him to really go forward, because defending is not as strongest side. Now, I think a few years ago he would have had no chance in the Premier League with all the teams playing variations of 4-4-2. Now, of course, with United and other teams being more flexible, there is perhaps a position for him, but I still think he's more suited to a continental style. If you remember the game at Old Trafford, what they did really well, Wolfsburg, even though they lost, was slowing the game down. And I remember the goal very vividly. Mizimovic controlled the ball, and it seemed to take them ages, and they looked as if they're going nowhere. And then suddenly they shifted the pace and created the goal. And that's very much his game. He likes that bit of time on the ball. He likes to step on it, look up a bit, And perhaps in that sense, the sort of more physical demands of the Premier League wouldn't be ideal to him. But I think he'd be good enough to adapt. But perhaps not a natural fit, I would say.
OK, and well, Wolfsburg, well, they're desperate for a win, aren't they? A draw, arguably, it won't be enough if CSKA win. They'll be going out and into the Europa League. So they'll fancy it, though, won't they, Raf? I mean, it's against what's going to be a pretty makeshift Manchester United defence. They'll definitely be up for it, and they'll have the opportunity to score a few goals as well, you'd expect.
Well, absolutely. I think you look at this United team, you look at their situation in the Champions League, where they've already qualified, you look at the people that Ferguson left behind, even though he was short on real fit players, and you think there's never been a better situation, a better opportunity to beat United. Wolfsburg are nearly full strength, they don't have any serious problems. So, yes, you're right, you have to fancy them. Of course they'll have one eye on the other game. If Besiktas will be leading 2-0, it's at half-time, I don't think Wolfsburg are going to go all out to beat United. But it is going to be, I think, a very uncomfortable evening if you're a United supporter, because while you're through, you don't want to see your team lose. But I think it sort of has all the hallmarks of a home win. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Wolfsburg win this quite comfortably, I must say.
And just finally, before you go, Raf, just looking at the Premier League, do you think United can beat Chelsea to the title this season? And in terms of the Champions League, who do you eventually see winning that?
Well, last year I tipped United to win the Champions League. I got close. This year I'm tipping Chelsea, I must say. Perhaps they'll make it to the final again. There's not much between them. I just think that United have perhaps lost a little bit more in the off-season than Chelsea have. Chelsea are essentially the same team, and they look very, very strong, and if they are going to spend big in the winter, and all the indications are that they're going to add at least one big player, I think they'll have a bit of an advantage. And also, you know, I think it's a big difference, the fact that United has now won it three times. I think every time you win a title, certainly a domestic title, it gets more difficult to replicate, to reproduce that form. The hunger, etc. For Chelsea, it's different. You know, they were without a major trophy for quite a number of years, and I think they really have that hunger back, and it shows in the league. Having said that, the Man City defeat was obviously a huge result, not so much for Chelsea, but I think a huge result for United, because 2 points is really nothing. I think it's given United belief. I think the fact that you've been winning without so many key players is a definite sign that the team is still very strong. The squad seems to be very strong still, without any big name additions in the summer. So I think it's going to be a very close call, and it's all probably going to go down to the wire. So I'd still make Chelsea slight favourites, but I think in January we'll know a lot more about how good United and Chelsea are respectively.
Well, that was the view of Raphael Honigstein from The Guardian and Talk Sport. Guys, what do you feel about the game against Wolfsburg tomorrow? I mean, the pressure's off us, isn't it? We've qualified. Top spot would be ideal, but I suppose it's a bit like the World Cup, isn't it? In the Champions League, you've got to beat whoever, haven't you, as the rounds progress. So I'm not too bothered about who we get. Dan, how do you see the team lining up? We've got so many problems at the back, as it's been well documented. I mean, would you prefer to see a younger, say like an Oliver Gill, whose natural position is sort of centre-half, would you prefer to see someone like that given a chance? Or do you think it's the best situation to play like a Michael Carrick at centre-back, where he's not suited to it, but because of his experience, he's less likely to make a glaring error?
No, I think I'd rather see Carrick go there, just for experience. Although, like you say, I mean, we're already through anyway. Obviously, it'd be better if we went through as leaders, but I don't think it makes a massive difference these days anyway. I think Gill might be on the bench. Maybe Corey Evans, is he registered? I'm not so sure, but I think we've got a few options there, so it's not the be all and end all, but like, I wouldn't want to second guess who he does play at the back.
It'll be very, very interesting. I'm more inclined to try and play this just basically a team that'll win, because I'm like, I know you say Steve, you're going to have to beat the big teams to win the trophy, but I mean, if you look at the teams that are like pretty much going to finish top of their group, which is what either we could get, you've got Bordeaux, Real Madrid, Fiorentina, Barcelona, and Sevilla. And to be honest, in the second round of the Champions League, you don't want to play any of those teams. I mean, you'd rather play, I don't know, a Porto or something like that, or Olympiacos or Unirea. So you'd rather play a better team than what you've been playing. But not one of the top teams, leave the top teams to the quarterfinals.
Redcafe.net, the leading Manchester United forum.
Well, after the Wolfsburg game, hopefully the defence will still be intact, and then we play Aston Villa at the weekend. And we have Luke Marson of thevillablog.co.uk. Luke, how are you doing? And welcome to the redcafe.net podcast.
I'm good, thank you. It's good to be here.
Excellent stuff. We do like having opposition fans on to keep us from being too biased. So hopefully you'll help us out.
Do my best.
You do excellent stuff. Well, we'll dig right in there. Is that a season expectation to get into that fourth spot, to get into the Champions League spots? Is that what you realistically think you can do?
It's certainly something that we can do. It just depends really on how the other teams do around us. I think with Liverpool not playing so well, I think that's possibly going to be where we might be able to sneak in. I think Arsenal will probably pull away as the season goes on. But I wouldn't rule it out this moment, but the way Martin O'Neill sometimes makes mysterious changes, I wouldn't rule us out finishing a few paces below where we are now.
And what about, obviously, you've got quite attacking players. You've got Bunglehar, Milner, and Ashley Young as well. And do you think these guys are good enough to pose a threat, especially to United side that have got such defensive problems like we have?
Well, we've got the pace, certainly, that'll trouble most defences. And particularly with yours being in the weak state it is at the moment, it's something that we really need to have a go at. I think we need to go out and attack with all that pace, especially if Downing is going to be available as well, because he adds another dimension into the midfield. Especially now we've moved Milner into the centre.
Interesting stuff. And we'll get to the team from Old Trafford. Obviously, the defending champions, second in the league. Our defence is quite decimated. So, do you think you can actually come and get something from the game?
I think to get anything from the game, we're going to have to play really well. I mean, we've come off the back of two good performances, albeit against lesser teams, but with that. Countries you've got. I'm certainly think we can get a goal. Two might be pushing it, and I think we need two to be able to get anything out of the game, just because where you've got Fields in defence, you've also got excellent attacking options as well. And I think that certainly gives you a bit of balance still, even with the injuries you've got.
I was going to say, talking about some of the players, is there anybody in particular? Well, actually, here's one. If Martin O'Neill was given a blank check and he said, right, you can sign any player from Manchester United you want, money is no option, or no object, sorry, who would you take and why?
Right at the moment, I think I would probably take Rooney, just because his prowess in that third of the field is immense. His movement, and the guy can run all day. In attacking Man United, like Villa, I think he's really suited to that style of play. And, he's a threat to any defence. And he's still got a lot of age on his side as well. He's a player that's improving as well as time goes on.
Excellent stuff. I think everybody we've had on said the one player that would take is Wayne Rooney. I think that's pretty much a unanimous decision across the footballing world. Before we let you go, Luke, what do you think? I just want a prediction of you. What do you think the score will be at the weekend?
I think it's probably going to be 2-1 or 3-1 to Man United, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think we can get a goal, but I think you'll probably be too strong for us going forward.
Excellent stuff. Well, I like the sound of that prediction. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, Luke. And that's Luke from thevillablog.co.uk. So check that out. And well, thanks very much for being on the show.
Well, that was the view from the opposition. What about our personal views on the game? Dan, it's going to be a tough game, isn't it? We keep talking about defensive problems and they're likely to still be there on Saturday, but at home at Old Trafford with the crowd behind them, Luke talked about the attacking talents we've got, and that should ultimately be too much for Villa, shouldn't it?
Well, I don't know really. I mean, if Agbonlahor plays up front, they've got Ashley Young, they've got a lot of pace there, and if we've not got our main players back, I can't see I mean, obviously one of the problems of Carrick playing in centre-half will be his lack of pace. And I'm fairly sure that if Carew or Heskey was to go up against, you know, Michael Carrick in the air, they'd probably win it as well. So I think there's a lot of concerns there. And I wouldn't be as confident as what you guys have been. But I wasn't confident a few weeks ago and we won, so it doesn't really matter what I say.
And if I had to push you both for a prediction, Dan, you're saying it's going to be a tough game, so do you think Villa could potentially nick a draw?
Yeah, I think it'll be possibly another game like last season, you know, a high-scoring game, but I think that Villa will come away with a draw, which will be disappointing, really, seeing as we've just closed the gap on Chelsea. But obviously, it depends who plays at the back.
And Dov, Federico Makeda, he hasn't travelled to Germany for the game against Wolfsburg on Tuesday. So, I mean, does that mean he's going to save him and bring him off the bench again to produce a moment of magic against Aston Villa like he did last season?
Possibly. I can see Rooney and Berbatov starting, though. I think like last maybe 2 or 3 weeks we've predicted that they'll start. I think it's about time one of them got a start. So I can maybe see him coming on as a substitute, but I can't see him starting against Villa, because obviously like what Dan said, we've like caught up on Chelsea a little bit as well, 2 points, so like Ferguson will be wanting to keep the momentum going, so I think as far as I can see, he'll be playing the best team possible.
Fantastic. Well, that's just about it for the 18th episode of the redcafe.net podcast. Remember, feedback, questions and comments to podcast@redcafe.net. Sign up to the Facebook group too if you haven't already. That just leaves us to say thanks a lot for listening, and make sure you tune in again next week.